Welcome to Fierce and Fearless, the go-to podcast for the modern unstoppable woman. We are your hosts, and I'm Sonali Srogi Singh, a fitness enthusiast, a fierce entrepreneur, and the founder of Feed Smart.
And I'm Zoe Modgill, your guide to all things fitness, nutrition, and beyond, encouraging strength in every aspect of life.
Together, we're here to explore the world and the spectrum of womanhood, motherhood, careers, fitness, nutrition, and even mental health.
We're here not just to share insights, but to debunk myths and offer tangible tips that empower you to lead a life that's both dynamic and balanced.
So get ready to explore new perspectives.
Let's dive in. We are back after a very long pregnancy break. I had my second lovely baby, Zane. And it's been 6 months of madness, navigating two under two, but we are thrilled to dive back into this podcasting world.
And we're just getting started. This time, it's all about tackling those really tough postpartum realities. And we're going to talk very deep and very open about it. So let's get started. The basic step one, embracing your new body. Zoe, what do you have to say?
Yes. Today, we are getting real about the ups and downs and honestly everything in between. I am totally willing to share my experiences since they're so fresh and navigating this second time around. I also have to just mention here how I literally got a message from somebody the day I announced that I was pregnant. They're like, what? Your body looks like that after all that work and now you're throwing it away? I was like, yep, I'm ready to do it again.
I mean, hats off to you. We'll come back to that, right? Let's just talk about the first time and the first experience of postpartum.
So I think since this is super fresh for me and it's 6 months postpartum, I have a complete newfound respect and patience for my body. And I think that this is something that I more than ever would like all women to realize. Your body takes time to build a human. Therefore, it takes a lot of time to come back to not what we were. Our bodies have changed and they change forever. Whether it's your private parts, your scars, your stretch marks, whatever it is, it changes forever. And therefore, what we expect out of it needs to be something that involves a little bit of not so much pressure. There's just constant pressure about getting back into the shape that we were. What do you think about this whole idea? Because I feel like since I have trained you, I feel like there have been times where you'll be like, I want to get super fit, super ripped, like how I used to be, so that maybe I can do this again. It's like a mindset. Yeah. Why do you think that you have this mindset?
I've been trying to get ripped or back to being at a very low body fat percentage for a long time. And post-pregnancy, I think I went the other way. I just ate a lot. Even post having Shivaya, the 6 months before I started working out, I thought that, you know what, I'm breastfeeding. I can do everything under the sun. I'm burning these calories. And that first step of going back into working out is the hardest to take, because once you start going and you start feeling good, it becomes a routine, especially if you're used to working out. But I ate a lot and I went the other way because I mentally could not deal with so much happening with the child, with breastfeeding. Making time for me and for my body was even harder for me to do. So I felt that if I had probably started earlier, it would have been an easier journey for me. I'm still struggling 3.5 years later to now get back to what I would want to be. And that again is probably not the right thing, because I want to get back to something that my body cannot even go back to. I have to accept that change, which is the hardest thing for a woman to do. Yeah, that was my experience. And I've only done it once, but you've done it twice. And you work with pregnant women, postpartum women all the time. You study the anatomy. You have a lot more data and a lot more insight into what really happens to a female body before, during, and post-pregnancy, and how it does physically change us. It doesn't mean that we cannot be the same, but we're definitely a different version of us post having a child. So why don't we give our listeners an idea of what you think about that?
Thanks, Sonali. So I literally have this very fresh in my mind. I recently read how postpartum basically lasts for about 2 years, which means I'm still in the last postpartum almost. I haven't even really gotten into the swing of this one. Wow. Which means that we really do need to start giving our bodies the credit it deserves, as well as cutting ourselves some slack. it's interesting because me being from a fitness background, when I was wanting to get pregnant and thinking about it, everybody was like, oh, you'll have to give up your career now. You can't exercise. What are you going to do? And I was just like, no, I'm going to pre and post certify myself so I know what I'm doing. It was my number one reaction. Yeah. And honestly, that gave me that confidence to be like, okay, I'm ready. I can do what I want. I know what I'm doing. I understand my body. I want to just mention like how you said that you just started eating. You just ate whatever you wanted postpartum. You were breastfeeding and you just felt like you could just go balls to the wall, as they say. The truth is, I actually didn't do that in either of my pregnancies, even in the pregnancy part, right? I ate the exact same thing that I anyway eat because my lifestyle has developed such in the last 10 years, and not out of being restricted, but just because I know that's what's right for me. And I feel like a lot of women, when they eat during pregnancy, even if they eat a lot, they somehow don't necessarily eat all the good stuff. I was eating tons of all the good stuff and more. That was what I was trying to do. So I actually gained 15 kgs in both pregnancies from what I was when I was starting out. But I didn't look it as much as what some people tend to look because I exercised, my hydration was good. And also what I ate was of clarity, was of nutrition, which a lot of people don't realize. So the weight gain can very much be just your body doing what it has to do in order to build a human. That's one of the biggest realizations that I think women don't understand is I ate healthy. I ate well. I can count how many times I ate a crappy meal in 9 months, which involved like pizzas and pastas and desserts, but my body still gained 15 kgs.
Yeah. So that's interesting because you've done the research, right?
Yeah.
Now, I ate well, but I did have a lot of crappy meals as well. I managed to put on 15 kgs as well. And luckily, Shivai was very healthy, 3.5 kgs plus child. But I thought what we have grown up seeing in movies, I can eat what the F I want because I'm pregnant. But that's not the case because when I started doing the research, and that was only after I gave birth, because then I realized that, oh my God, it's harder for me to lose this because I didn't carefully go through what I ate. I gave into every single desire of mine. I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. This is the only time I'm going to be applauded for looking 5 times bigger my size. So just go for it. That was my mindset because I've always had issues with my weight. But going back and then when I studied nutrition and started getting down to research, that's not the way it should be. And I think we discussed that a lot in our previous episode as well. But that's what I think people don't know, right? That you're not meant to eat for 3 people, you're literally meant to eat for half a person more. And this whole fallacy of breastfeeding, oh my God, you're losing 500 calories, but you still need to go out and work out. That's not just going to cut it.
The thing is that what we do during our pregnancy is super important. So going out and all out and eating, if you were to fundamentally break it down, it's what you're building a human with. Now, if you eat a whole load of crap, lots of refined food, eating out all the time, understand that is actually what is being passed to your child. It actually makes no sense physically, like just to go all out. It's not even about the weight gain. So first and foremost, I feel like women should understand that when they're pregnant, don't smoke, don't drink, right? They're told these 2 major things. Now we do those 3 things despite knowing how bad they are for us. The third thing is what you put in your body, right? That is who you are. It's your nutrition. It's how you sweat. It's how you go to the loo. Like all the way your body excretes, etc., is from what you eat, right? Yeah. How your skin glows, how everything glows. So that all is what is being used to build a baby. That's number one. So please, when you are pregnant, eat well. Don't eat rubbish. Eat lots, but eat all the good stuff. That is your time to check into your nutrition.
Yeah. What do people in fame do? They just look like they did not have a child, but they did. They're back to what they were. And I always look at us like, this is just not possible. No matter how good you are and how controlled you might be with your eating and your diet and your training, you possibly cannot bounce back to exactly what you were within 3 months.
Despite me being in the industry, I'm not going to say that I don't have body image issues. I do. Okay. For instance, people message me and be like, wow, you're being able to do this and you can look after your body like that. I actually look to someone who I think is even more so doing what I'm doing, but able to do it doubly better. Like women who are doing CrossFit while they're pregnant, women who are having a C-section and then coming back and competing in the women's CrossFit champions of the world. She's the second fittest woman on earth after 5 months of having a C-section. That's even 1 month less of me. Okay. So this is what I am looking at and being like, wow, how are they able to do this? A lot of this has to do with the habits that are already established in these women's lives. Genetics has a massive role, and what they eat prior to many years of eating well, eating high protein diets, like things like that makes your skin a certain different texture, your elasticity in the skin, your actual fascia of your skin is very much a big response mechanism to how your body will react when your belly grows. Will you have more saggy skin? Will you get stretch marks? All of these things matter according to the diet that you had actually pre-pregnancy, which is what people don't understand. It's what you're eating before you got pregnant, how you were eating, your habits, you know, what you prepared yourself for. That will actually enable how fast, in fact, you can postpartum recover. And that is why I feel like a lot of these women, their diets, there is a very big high number of non-vegetarian eating. At least I'm talking about some of these fitness women that I get inspired by because that's in my line. They are bouncing back with muscles that look like they never left because they're eating, they eat meat, they eat protein, they eat a lot of creatine, things that, and there's so much collagen in all of that protein that they eat. Like I was thinking like, let me order some collagen supplements because from my first pregnancy, I suffer from something called diastasis recti, which I feel like is something that is newly coming into everybody's minds at the moment. We did a check of yours. You don't have it. It can be enhanced by genetic, but it is also to do with the wrong abdominal pressure control, which a lot of people don't actually know. Postpartum is absolutely incredible. And it has a lot to do with what we were doing pre. And I think that is something that I feel it's very misunderstood. And genetics plays a big role. The skin texture that we already have and are born with plays a big role. Our body posture and like alignment also contributes. Like, for instance, I have a very small torso where my boobs literally end and belly button is such a small area, right? Now, where on earth is my baby going to grow? It's going to grow this way, right? Which is going to push my abdominal wall wider and bigger to make space. So these sort of things, women actually don't understand postpartum. Like the body you're given is the body that you've got. You have to accept flaws or not. Like this all matters. So a lot happens physically to the body that we need to be a lot kinder to ourselves about.
Yeah. That pooch that we left with, it's a sign and that's a lot of baggage, like literally. And you're right. Now that I think about it, my diet has evolved and become so much better now. But if I had to go back maybe a year before I got pregnant to what I am now, world of a difference. Absolute world.
Yeah. And if you were to do it again, Sonali, let me tell you, you're not going to look the same you did in the first. Also because every pregnancy is not the same, but also because your awareness and your knowledge is so much more.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that if I go back to my younger days of eating, and I was a massive binge eater, always struggled with that. So that definitely probably has some kind of role to play in how it's always been a much harder journey for me to drop fat. For me, it's harder to drop fat than to build a business.
I think mine is literally the opposite of that. Mine is the other way around.
Dude, you've gone for 2 under 2. I respect that you would do that. I don't even know if I'm going to go for my second child. The whole going through the process again is just very scary. Like, how did you do it? And you look exactly like what you were before. So give us some insights.
You know, I think because we are tackling mainly the perspective of body image in this episode that we want to share and talk about, because the mental situation and the challenges you face and life in general changes like hell. I'm not even going to lie. All of that, you have to learn to divide yourself between two human beings. And that's a big toll. But I think that there is some misfit in all of our psyche. I think this is something that has developed for all of us in the exposures that we have had. And also for you, for instance, bringing up a daughter into this world. I have two sons, but you have a little girl. To teach her about body image issues that are existing, it's actually just so bizarre how every day I would stand in front of the mirror and be like, oh, my belly's growing. Has it grown? Oh, it's going to get bigger. And I'm like taking pictures and I'm so excited about it. And everybody's posting this, oh, baby bump, love it, da, 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 all this kind of stuff. And then the moment the baby's out, like everybody's so shy, they cover their belly, yes. They sort of tuck things in, pull their pants up high. And you know what? I'm guilty of it too. I'm not going to lie. But I had a few things that I had told myself that I would do better this time, post some research, things like a postpartum belt. I swear by that so much that, believe it or not, I want to come out with my own branded belt because it has literally changed my life, the second pregnancy. I wouldn't say it's necessarily, it's not a cure for things, but it definitely helps give a woman that extra support they need.
Yeah.
I also have realized that the C-section delivery rate is so high now in India. This is what my doctor was telling me. And the concept behind getting back our bodies is so far-fetched because not only is there the physicality of the belly growing and what that looks like, but even the C-section area, your scar, actually losing all of that feeling in that area and causing this sort of like skin overlap, which is the way in which a doctor will work to stitch you back up. You're actually left with this shelf, and me being aesthetically about my body and my business, or at least have been in the past, I struggle with this a lot, having that big shelf that just hangs over. But there are procedures that you can work with to fix that. And I feel like that awareness in India is so little. And there are like there's scar mobilization. There are things where you can actually play with the skin and teach that layer of skin to build back its connectivity so that it has reactions, so that it can start to develop and regenerate, which is incredible because when I left the hospital, I was told none of this, right? Especially for a C-section recovery. It's like telling somebody who's had a knee surgery, right? Yeah. That, you know what? You'll bounce back in like a few weeks. Don't worry. And here's your report card and bye. No, they prescribe physio. They prescribe crutches. They tell you, you can't walk. You can't whatever. With a C-section, like they don't tell you much other than don't lift anything heavier than your child. You can't do stairs and come back for a dressing change after 10 days. Like literally that was what I was told. It's a serious abdominal surgery that has a lot of impact on our mobility as well as our mental well-being because physically that's a scar. Yes. Like I know people who've had the heart surgery and they go on and on about the scar here. Women have like 10 scars on top of the same area. Like when you have children, I have two scars now because I have a line from the first one and a line below for the other one. It's not even like they did it on the same spot, you know? Mm. So there's all of this postpartum stuff that isn't really talked about or shared. But it is, there are ways that I think are not out there in the market that you can start to fix these. And I, for one, have come to this realization that, you know what, Zoe, I am not who I was. I'm not that psychotic freak with the six pack that I had all the time. I'm now a mom with two kids with limited time, but lots of knowledge. And I want to share as much as I can with that physical aspect of people's lives to how to get it functioning correctly. So that you can then build it back to what you were doing. It's more about what we were doing and what we were capable of rather than how we looked.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting, your whole journey and perspective. I also do think a lot about having a second child has a lot of impact on the environment. That's why I've given up meat. That's why ethically I've gone into vegetarianism, even though it is so much harder to get protein.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Struggle is real. And with the overpopulation, all of this happened because it's crossed my mind a lot to the level where I've even discussed, let's say, adoption with the other one. He's just looking at me like, really? I was like, yeah, I think we can consider it. We keep toying with the idea. Having a child has a massive impact. Look at the amount of diapers we consume just for a child. So do we need to bring another human person into this world when there's so many who need a womb?
I'm not saying that I don't love the planet. Okay. I love our planet. I respect it, okay, all of these sort of things. I know that there are tons of issues and I feel like I can try within my own home and my environment to do the best I can to contribute back. But dude, I love having kids, okay? If you told me to do it again, I would do it again. And I like to get my hands dirty. I like to do all the work myself. I genuinely like changing diapers. I feel like I'm a perfectionist at it. Throw me a diaper change and I will show you how to do it really well. So I feel like I get excited about these kind of things. I feel like I didn't allow those kind of things to come into my decision. Although I have to say that it was a little earlier than planned. And my husband literally had a moment where he got diarrhea because he was so shocked when I told him. He was like, okay, gave me a side hug, lovely, and then he's like, I need to go to the loo. I'm being truthful. But with all the stress that comes with it, the acceptance of like how our bodies change and just knowledge, I feel like I say this a lot to all of my clients, that knowledge is power. Do your own research. And it's nothing wrong with like how you think about it. It's fine. If you think about it, it's fine if you only want to have one child. There's so many people that I know because it's a lot of work. It's a lot. And I just feel like it should be your work. So if you are willing to take that on, then do it. But there are many people who will have it and they're not even in their child's lives. I find that just bizarre. Like I can't understand that concept.
Exactly. Right? So that's my biggest thing. Do I have time for another child? Because between FeedSmart and Shivaya, I'm all packed up. I send you... You know how I block time on my calendar. It's insane. So for me to then think of having another child, and if I can't give that human space and time and love, what's the point of having a child?
I agree with you, dude. You have to think about it like that, because if that's how I think about it and I'm willing to go all out and give my whole time, I find like 10 minutes in the middle of the night to work. It's hard. They're not days where I crib and I complain that this is who has done this, whose idea was this. I can't even find 5 minutes to like literally go to the loo. And it's not like I don't have nannies, by the way. I have a support system this time. The first 2 months, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try and manage this on my own. But I just couldn't. And it was an acceptance. And it was just like, you know what? I can't. So whatever I earn right now, it's to pay for my two nannies so that I have some peace of mind so that they can, so that they can help me live the life that I want and I can be happy with them, give my time to them. They can do the other work. And this took me a while to accept because I really was like, you know what? I have dogs since I was a child.
Yeah,
I was told I have to look after the dog myself. I have to bathe it. I have to take it to the vet. I have to walk it. This kind of concept has been ingrained in my head ever since I was like young. All of these things and taking care of babies has never been a worry for me. It was mainly a little bit about my work being to pull back because my first pregnancy was a little bit of a risk pregnancy because I had a low-lying placenta. So I was more worried about, you know what, if Zoe is not allowed to work out, she's going to turn into the Hulk on day 5. I think that I am able to be a calm person. Everybody's like, you have a temper, Zoe? And I'm like, dude, I do. I'm a Leo. I have a temper. It's there. It's just that I know how to control it in the gym room. This is where I'm able to let it all out. I was worried about that with my second pregnancy. What complications would I have? I'm 39. Having it was, these were a bit more fearful for me. But the looking after, the finding the time, I swear by routine, those sort of things didn't scare me as much. I thought that I like a challenge. I can do it.
Yeah.
And I think that some women will be surprised because right now with the capabilities of what we think we can do, suddenly when it comes and we're thrown at it, we're like, you know what? We can do it.
You know? That is something that I think women have absolute superpower. We can absorb insane amounts of pressure and work and to-do lists and all of it and then just double it and still manage to wake up the next day and be okay.
See, you're already saying double it. So just one baby, two babies, same thing. I honestly do think the longer that somebody leaves the gap, it is a little tougher because not just because of how the kids are, but also because of you as a mindset. Like I literally was able to like just continuing ordering diapers and nappies and like creams. It was like the same process. And then there was a brief 1 month in the middle. I was like, wow, I haven't washed or sterilized a bottle for 5 or 6 days. What's going on? And then, here it is again. I'm just like right back into the same thing. So it's a lot easier from that perspective, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
To do it closer.
I think we should now bring this to an end. I think it's been an interesting journey and we'll go and conclude this with our very own fierce and fearless take home. I'll start with mine. I think my take home has been different to what I thought it would be, right? My take home is now more about, I'm looking at what my journey was pre-pregnancy and what it was post in terms of nutrition and food. And now I'm actually thinking that if I did decide to have another child, how different it would be. So I think speaking and conversing on this topic today has given me a lot of food for thought personally of what my journey was, how did I do it, how would I do it again. And my second take home is also, of course, to all the listeners, we might say this again and again, but that acceptance is key, right? Acceptance of that everybody is different, acceptance of everybody goes through different versions of themselves at every step. it's all linked to who you've been, how you've been brought up. It's linked to what your pregnancy was, your genetics, everything. So let's try to fight it as less as we can and just accept all the changes that come with being a mom, because it is a beautiful journey. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
Amazing, Sonali, because I remember you saying that like you love the person you've become after becoming a mom. I remember when we discussed doing this podcast many months ago now, but you did say that it changed you and you love who you've become. And I think that is important, because my fierce and fearless take home, I think it really does absolutely suck how much pressure exists in this world to not only first have a baby, okay? Like the moment you get married, everyone's like, when's the baby coming? When's the baby coming? I literally took my time, okay? 9 years of marriage and then I had a child, okay? I think that the pressure for that decision and then getting pregnant is another thing, which is another pressure. Like, it doesn't happen easily for everybody. It did not happen easily for me, okay? I also then think that the postpartum situation, which is very much about what we look like, which is absolutely bizarre. And when the baby literally comes into this world, I always remember at least seeing so much of these images where they were awing over the baby, right? Like everyone in the family is, wow, all these small babies here. Like you would never really see a lot about the mom. There was always like a beautiful picture of the husband walking out with his baby and whatever, right? Like that kind of a situation was what we were groomed to see subconsciously somewhere. But having done it twice, we women are, we're incredible in what we are capable of doing postpartum delivery, the birthing process, the preparation, and just even if we're not in sync with understanding pregnancy, because I tell you what, I have a lot of clients who don't even understand the power of what they're doing, what their bodies are doing. But at the same time, that in itself is this undying pressure to just have a child and then get back to who we were is just unnecessary. Having done it twice, and the second time, I feel like I did it better. I did it more in my control. I made myself aware of what I was up for. I think women don't do that research. They listen too much to everything else. They need to just, they need to know themselves. Yeah. And that comes from knowing yourself pre-pregnancy. Okay? Which is why it doesn't, you don't just change yourself for those few months. Like I have so many women who be like, oh my God, the toughest thing for me was just not drinking. I was like, what? Like, how is that even like relevant? You could drink when you're like 90 and doing nothing. I mean, come on. It doesn't make sense to me as a concept, those kind of things.
Guilty as charged.
It's like, how weak are you, Sonali? Come on. Like,
now I'm on the other side. I'm on the other side.
Yeah. But there are many like with eating. And I think that it's just that the acceptance of like women to learn more about themselves and take that in their own power, I think is what I think my fierce and fearless take home is that women should fight to know more about what their bodies are doing, what it's capable of, and what they do to their own bodies. I think that is what's like severely missing. Forget, I'm not even touching on how society and your home and your friends and your circle will pressurize you, or social media. That's another ballgame. Or like you said, celebrities. Yeah. Just for one photograph like this that they put up, there's a team of 50 people just sitting behind them. You asked me, like, how do they look like that? It's because it's all planned. It's what they want to say, how they want to release the image, what angle, how honest they want to be. It's very interesting now that there are many women who are just actually putting up pictures of the real raw deal.
Yes.
And you will find... Yeah, and you will find that in those cases, those women are either have genetics on their side, is what I feel, in some cases, and we forget that, or have had some help, or are just naturally gifted. And we have to accept that some are like that. It's not that they're not. But it doesn't mean that we have to aspire to only be that, and that we can never be who we were more confident feeling like. It just takes a little bit of time, and the less pressure you put on yourself, the better.
Got it. So that was great. Yep. Find your true balance, guys, and stay fierce and stay fearless.
And that wraps up another episode of Fierce and Fearless. Thank you for tuning in and joining us on this journey.
We hope you're going to walk away with some great insights, feel absolutely inspired and ready to challenge norms, Come on then, just go and make your mark.
Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on all our latest episodes. And if you loved what you heard today, please leave us a review.
And if you've got questions or you want us to discuss certain topics, just reach out to us. You can send us a message on our social media handles, Zoe Modgill or Feed Smart. We absolutely love hearing from you.
Until next time, stay fierce, stay fearless, and remember, every small step is part of your bigger journey.